All right, we have a great episode of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. Pat O'Shea will be joining us on today's episode. So, Harry, if we want to hit the intro music, we'll get right into this. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. It is Dylan Campione joined alongside Harry Kilman. And Harry, we've got a great guest on for today's episode. But first, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a nice pre-summer day. Having a good one.
The key there is that it is summertime, which means a lot more content coming out. We're no longer bogged down with schoolwork. But of course, we're excited today to welcome on Pat O'Shea of the Dodgers organization. He also helped out with the USA baseball team in the World Baseball Classic this season. So, Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries. It's a blast. So, obviously, we're going to talk through Pat's career journey like we do with a couple of our other guests. We're going to start with where he began, and we'll end up this past spring helping out with the Team USA WBC. But the first question we sort of ask our guests, and you can take it in whatever direction you want to take it in, but if someone didn't know who you are, and they had to say, so who are you in the baseball world? Pretty open-ended, but up to you to determine. Who are you? What's your baseball story and how you doing?
Yeah, so I would say the who I am in the context of baseball, I'm like one of the many people behind the curtain. So I started out, I went to Haverford College, a small D3 school outside of Philadelphia, and played baseball there. And then maybe after my junior year, I kind of started getting the itch that I wanted to work in baseball. So I reached out to a lot of our alumni that have worked in baseball, and they recommended starting with a video internship. So I was the video guy for the Hudson Valley Renegades with Tampa Bay Rays in summer of 2018. Did that for a summer and had a lot of fun, and still stay in touch with a lot of people from Tampa and a lot of the players. And then I kind of did the whole winter meetings experience in Las Vegas. Interviewed with a couple teams and landed with the Dodgers doing advance work. And I've been with the Dodgers since the start of 2019, doing a couple different roles. I've been doing the advance book, which is kind of mapping out and looking at any tendencies, looking at like the roster that we're about to face in the upcoming series, and trying to find ways that we can exploit the other team, but also, you know, what to look out for, how they might try to exploit us. So I did that based in LA for 3 years. And then starting last year, I started doing that in addition to doing pro scouting. So, you know, going around like kind of the traditional scouting like outlook, I guess, where you have an organization and you see every level. You know, rookie ball all the way up to major league team. Last year I had the Braves, and this year I have the Giants and the Rockies. So it's been interesting to see kind of both sides of, you know, the big league team, like working on that from the hotel room, and then going to a game in Florida and watching a bunch of like 18 and 19 year olds play. So it's definitely seeing all the different sides of baseball.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. And it'll especially be fun when all the guys you're scouting in the minor leagues do eventually make it to the majors. And you're like, hey, I saw them when they were little at 19 years old in single A. But going back to when you were a little bit younger, playing for Haverford, what was that baseball experience like playing college baseball? And then do you think that ultimately has helped you further along in your career, sort of having that player's mindset or player's mentality of knowing what they went through when they were playing?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, invaluable to my baseball career. You know, it was a small school, about, I think it was maybe 2,000 kids. And we were kind of like the blue collar, as like cheesy as that is, we were kind of the blue collar baseball team in the conference. We were really scrappy. You know, we did everything we could to try to get an edge. We started doing the plyo ball, kind of driveline-esque weighted ball program. My freshman year, so that was 2014, which is kind of, you know, just before everything kind of started coming out with big league teams and organizations kind of adapting that program. So my familiarity with it when I was interviewing with teams, I think, was a real asset. for me. In addition to having the network of the alumni to kind of guide, who I should talk to, when I should send emails, what I should include in my emails. But just, learning baseball from the coaching staff there and interacting with my teammates from around the country and just developing the baseball eye. And I think that's helped both with the scouting and then also with the advanced work where, you're looking for the little tiny minute details that a team might be doing or how players are moving. And, we didn't have video really to scout other teams. We had to rely on our eyes real time. So if we're watching the game from the dugout, I was a reliever. So I wasn't busy until maybe the fifth or sixth inning. So I'd be in the dugout and we'd all be like watching the other pitcher. And it's like, oh, he's tipping. Like when his finger goes like this out of his glove, it's a curveball. Or you just kind of start seeing the game from different ways. You're looking in the other dugout. And if the other team starts reusing signs, you're like, oh, okay, it's probably going to be a fastball because last time 3-1-2 was like called out, it was a fastball. And you just kind of start seeing the game somewhat how like advanced scouts see it or front office people see it. So I kind of planted the seed early on.
Yeah, you said you kind of got this itch around like your junior year to kind of go from being a player, at Haverford College to, kind of working on the other side of things and more of the front office role. Was that always kind of a dream of yours to work on the other side of baseball? I'm sure everybody, as they're young, even ourselves included, wanted to go pro, but obviously that's not a super feasible option for the majority of us. But was working in baseball something you've always wanted to do? And when really did that come up? And hey, this is a realistic option for me, that this is something that I really and truly want to and will, gravitate towards.
Yeah, so I think I always wanted to work in baseball. I started out thinking I wanted to work in baseball media. I was an English major in college. So freshman, sophomore year, I was still kind of thinking like, okay, I'm going to be a sports writer or be on TV, like a, kind of a sideline reporter type gig. I did an internship at MLB Network in their research department after my sophomore year or after my junior year, and it was a ton of fun. It was really cool to kind of see behind the scenes of, I was the kid that was watching MLB Network 12 hours a day, and I still have it on every morning. While I'm working, I have it on the background listening to kind of what happened the night before. But when I was there, I kind of realized I'm still just watching baseball. I have no impact on what's happening on the field. So I was kind of realizing the gap in that competitiveness going from a player, at a pretty competitive small college. Obviously, I didn't have the talent to play pro ball, but I wanted to kind of find some way to be competitive in whatever I did after baseball to kind of keep that alive. So I kind of started talking to my head coach at my college, and he put me in touch with some of our alumni. And I quickly figured out that, okay, even though I'll be in the background and, be up in an office setting, or now, being at a field in Florida or Arizona or watching the double A game, there is still that looking for the next player or like, looking for that thing that's going to help the team win in 3 days or that night or whatever it may be, that kind of keeps that baseball competitive playing edge there.
100%. Sort of that idea of like, if I can't be the guy that's throwing out game seven, the final pitch of the World Series, you want to be the guy that helped contribute or the guy that set up the team for success. And whether you're the guy on the mound, you're the manager that put him there, you're the scout that's the guy that got the guy onto the team, it's sort of everyone plays a role in winning that World Series, which is definitely a cool thing probably to have happen in your career, which I think you were with the Dodgers in 2020, if I have it right, I think, when the Dodgers won the World
Yes.
Series. So what was that whole experience like? I know that was a COVID season, which some people are claiming is fake, but I think it's a World Series. You won the World Series sort of thing. But what was that
Yeah,
whole
I
experience
mean,
like?
I don't think it's fake. I mean, I have the ring to prove it, but it was obviously a very different year for everybody. It was one of those times where it's kind of you just pour everything into your work because there's not really much else going on. Like, you couldn't go anywhere. So it was pretty much like wake up at 7 every morning and you're just working until, the game starts through the game. And because we, were working for the team, we were actually some of the few people in the world that got to watch baseball live. So we couldn't go down to the clubhouse because they had like the tiered access levels and everything, to kind of maintain some semblance of a bubble. But, we'd be in the stadium watching the games, using the TrackMan unit, and kind of since MLB wasn't sending TrackMan people there, we kind of had to pick up the slack on that. But it was kind of what I think a lot of people maybe wish baseball was, because it was just a sprint from the end of July all the way through October. Personally, I like the 162. I think it's part of the beauty of it. But it was a lot of fun. It was all baseball all the time. And really some of the only people we were interacting with were our coworkers. And we were lucky enough the Dodgers kind of like let us go to Dallas for the World Series. So we were there sitting up in the second deck, and it was a really cool experience. It was a lot of fun. Finally getting to see people too, and like hanging out outside by the fire pit at the hotel after games and just talking more baseball and talking to like older scouts and coworkers that had been involved with previous World Series teams, and hearing stories that they had, and really kind of tying it all together. It was a lot of fun.
And that's especially awesome, right? Because you're not just working for any team. You're working for the LA Dodgers, one of kind of the most prestigious teams in modern baseball, right? You not only have you won a World Series, but the Dodgers are consistently one of the best teams. And not only in the sense that they spend a lot of money and are able to acquire these big name players, Freddie Freeman, but the amount of homegrown talent that you guys have produced, even now, like James Outman is, he was a maybe top 100 prospect, but he's blossomed into one of really the best young rookies in this game. What really separates, do you think, the Dodgers from many of the other organizations, and the fact that the Dodgers are able to maintain their success level at such a high level and not only spend, but are able to find those homegrown gems and really continue to pump out talent like really nobody else is able to? What makes them so good at that? And you've had that inside track.
Yeah, I think it's really the people that the Dodgers hire, and kind of the culture that they maintain. You look at our pitchers that have come up recently, and Bobby Miller, who got made his debut last night, and Gavin Stone, Michael Bush came up earlier in the year, James Outman, like you mentioned, Miguel Vargas, like all of these players, a lot of them weren't drafted as the next big thing, but everybody in the organization kind of has a hand in helping them get to where they go, whether it be a pitching coordinator, a strength and conditioning coach in the minor leagues, the initial amateur scout that saw them and was like, hey, this kid might be special, and kind of having that foresight. I think it's everybody in the organization is very humble and wants what's best for the player, and wants what's best for the rest of the organization. And there's a lot of interaction, there's a lot of not being too high and mighty. Like, there's a lot of questions being asked and trying to learn from each other. And I think it's just fostered a really, really good culture. And I know that's like kind of the cheesy buzzword nowadays with all these startups and everything, like culture, culture, culture. But I think the Dodgers really do have something special. And you see it from all these players that are coming up. And like you said, yeah, the Dodgers spend a lot of money, but at the same time, this isn't a new thing where the development has, been an asset for the Dodgers. You look back at the last wave of talent, the Corey Seagers, the Clayton Kershaws, the Julio Urías, like all of these guys that have come up, and some of them aren't, a lot of them aren't top prospects. Tony Gonsolin was drafted, I think, as a two-way player out of St. Mary's College in California. And I think he has the lowest ERA of any pitcher the last 2 years, something like that. And he kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But I think the proof is in the pudding, that the entire organization kind of works like a cohesive, like monster, if you will, where everybody does their role and is selfless enough to know that like it's about the players, it's about the organization, it's about making everybody better and being there for the players as people too. You know, it's a lot of these kids are really young and they're away from their families for the first time. So it's establishing that environment for them to grow and become, you know, better young men and better young baseball players as well.
And I think also you just mentioned that everyone knows the type of like Bobby Miller top prospect made his major league debut last night, but there are other sort of diamond in the roughs in the organization. You knowing the organization almost if not better than anyone else out there, sort of who do you think maybe they make an impact later this year? But is there a guy that you think that's in the Dodgers AAA, AA that maybe we should keep our eyes out and open for? Because who knows if he's going to be that next young star that we're going to see in the next couple of years?
A couple of guys. So Andy Pages and Johnny DeLuca just got moved up to AAA. They're having great young careers, and Emmett Sheehan's throwing the ball really well. And then there's a younger guy. I think he's in High A right now. River Ryan. He's a pitcher that we got in the Matt Beattie trade with San Diego. And from what everything, I haven't seen him live yet, but from everything I've heard from others, he's a special arm, special talent. So it'll be fun to watch those guys as they move up and, you know, develop even more.
Yeah, and in addition to working with the Dodgers, you've also taken on a bit of an executive role for Team USA. And I want to know how different is that? Because obviously you're not, it's not the same system where you're not dealing with minor leaguers. Everybody that is playing for Team USA in a World Baseball Classic setting are already very established veterans who are already very good at the MLB level. So how do daily operations kind of differ from working in an MLB org to working for Team USA?
Yeah, so the Team USA thing, it came about almost from just like small talk. So our third base coach with the Dodgers, Dino Ebel, who's like one of the smartest baseball people I've ever met and one of the most genuine human beings I've ever met. He was announced as Team USA's third base coach in mid-August last year, and I ended up, so I live in Boston now and work remote. I met the team in New York when they were playing the Mets at the end of August, and I like, congratulated him just in passing about the gig. And I was like, "Hey, if you need anybody to help out with some advanced scouting, you know, let me know." And he was like, "You know, you might be onto something." And he kind of like, you know, went away for a little bit. We didn't talk about it for a couple months, but then he ended up advocating for me, and I got brought on to help with their advanced work and like game planning preparations, and kind of have a little bit of an analytic like edge, if you will. But it was one of those where I'm used to, you know, when I was in LA, I was up in the office. I had some interaction with some of the players, a decent amount of interaction with the coaching staff, mostly through text or email, and occasionally going down for meetings and kind of talking things through with them. All of a sudden, I was in the dugout with Team USA, and Mike Trout's asking me what the pitcher throws, and it was like, okay, this is a little different. But I would say the biggest like learning element was you communicate in different ways depending on who you're speaking with. So in the office, we would, you know, be talking a certain way about the game, and then when you go to talk to the coaches, you know, they're busy people. So you got to be a little quicker, more to the point. And then with the players, I was kind of using coach speak, if you will, like how I would talk to another a coach. And they're like, "Hey, like I got to go hit." Like, so the first two exhibition games, I was probably using too many words, being a little too complex. And then I started making the adjustment, like, okay, like they just want velos, what the fastball does, what's his out pitch, and kind of keep it nice and simple. So it was really eye-opening, and then hearing how those different hitters and pitchers approach the game, just listening to them talk about hitting, talk about how they game plan, how they look for different pitch tips, and like Paul Goldschmidt absolutely blew me away in terms of like his preparation, how he's just all in. You know, we had a group chat about the pitcher we were going to face the next day, and sending like video and some of the advanced templates that I created. And he's replying at like 7 in the morning, like, hey, the fastball is going to play hot. Like, you got to get on top of it. He's on the first bus. Like, he's watching video. He's a pro's pro. So seeing guys like that and how they prepare their body to play the game, and it makes sense why those guys are the best in the world. Like, they obviously perform on the field, but they're doing everything they can to make themselves better and make their teammates better off the field.
No, that makes a ton of sense because I know a lot of fans just see the hours between 7 o'clock and 10 p.m. for the games and see, oh, Paul Goldschmidt, Pete Alonso are going to hit 40 homers this year, but they don't see from 7 in the morning till 6:45 at night before the game all the work and preparation and whether it's drills, videos, scouting, and all this stuff that goes into the game. And it's really fun to see, especially you see that sort of behind the scenes look at these guys and seeing what they're actually like. I guess another follow up to that is that you just mentioned you're sometimes in with the Dodgers more in the office, more not in the dugout, versus here was really hands-on with the players day in and day out. Do you think in the future that might be more the route that you'd want to go down? I'm not sure if there is sort of that guy in professional baseball with the Dodgers that's sort of in the clubhouse, or do you like sort of that was a cool, fun 1 month experience, but now I want to go back to my comfort zone with the Dodgers where I'm sort of love what I'm doing on the scouting end.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to kind of to say I want to be in the dugout with Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, and Goldie every day. But I think going into it, I kind of already had some inclination that I would potentially want to be back in uniform at some point. And it was just kind of tough to find a way to test that out without fully going, okay, I'm going to change roles. So it was, while the WBC was a ton of fun for, a million other reasons. It was really nice to kind of get that affirmation that, okay, at some point I do want to be back in the dugout if that opportunity arises. And there are teams like, the Dodgers are now bench coach Danny Lehman. He actually started in that kind of role as a game planning coach in the dugout. He was a minor league catcher. I think with the Twins, and then he started in the Dodger system and worked his way up, and now he's their bench coach. So the position exists. It's just kind of a matter of, seeing what opportunities arise for me, but also, I have a job, two jobs to do with the Dodgers. So I want to make sure I, can kind of get that, not out of the way, but kind of do my job to the best of my ability. And then whatever opportunities come up down the road, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Like it. And then we sort of have one last overarching question for you. And that's sort of because you mentioned way back when you were at Haverford, you had all these sort of guys that were alumni that sort of led you in sort of the right direction. But for people who don't, so say there's a current junior at Haverford or junior at Georgetown or junior anywhere that sort of wants to break into the baseball industry in the future. If you had sort of one piece of advice of saying, if you want, and obviously there's no cookie cutter way of getting into baseball, but sort of one overarching thing that you might want to say, hey, would recommend you do this, or if you want to work in baseball, make sure you have that. Is there anything in particular you'd like to point out?
Yeah, I mean, first, I think there are so many different ways to get into baseball. And I think there are, even if you're not a college baseball player or a minor league baseball player, there are a ton of other ways to get involved. I think the biggest thing is just showing that you have a passion for the game and finding time, even if you don't have the work experience of, it's kind of the running joke of, first year job, you need 10 years of experience, kind of you see on Twitter and all that. But even if you're coming out of college, like you can do little independent projects just to show that you have an actual desire to do it and you're not just applying on a whim. Whether it be using a coding skill set to create different models and, explore different questions that you may have, or just, writing baseball articles, just showing that there's a passion for the game. And showing the skill set that you have so that when you go to interview or your resume is in front of somebody, it's not just, oh, this person's really smart, but do they really care about baseball? And we've seen a lot of resumes last 2 years as we've been hiring for junior analyst positions, and a lot of them are really good resumes, But you're left with that question of, do they love the game? Because, when you start out in baseball, the pay isn't, on par with a lot of these consulting or finance jobs that other, your classmates may be getting out of school, and the hours are really long. So you really have to love it. I mean, when I was in the office, we'd get in at 9, 9:30, and then you're there till the end of the game, which before the pitch clock came in, that could be pretty late. So you really got to love the game and just show that, you're passionate about it from a work standpoint too, and show your talent so that when somebody's sitting there, they don't have to go searching for it in your resume.
No, that's great advice. So, Harry, we do have sort of three rapid fire questions. As the baseball term side retired is when you get three outs, the side is retired. So here on the podcast, we have three rapid fire questions to throw at you, and then you've officially retired the side on the interview if you're game for
Okay, yeah, it might take a while. I mean, from when I was a
them.
pitcher, sometimes some of those innings took a little while.
So the first one we have for you, and maybe this is going to be the answer for when you were back in college as well, but a big thing for baseball players is their walk-up song or their intro music trotting out from the bullpen. So if you were playing right now, what would your intro song be blasting when you're coming out for the ninth inning?
I would say "Jump Around" by House of Pain, I think. That was mine in college. I was a big Brian Wilson guy when he was, doing the whole Fear of the Beard thing in the 2010, 2011. So I'd go with that.
Like it. Harry, you want to go for the second one?
Yeah, I mean, you talked a little bit earlier about, interacting with Mike Trout, but, having been on both sides, you worked with the Dodgers, you worked with Team USA, what was your favorite interaction that you've ever gotten to have in your position in, as a kind of a baseball executive?
Oh, favorite interaction. So in 2021, I was on a road trip with the Dodgers to San Francisco, and Kershaw was on the IL at the time, but he was on the trip. And we were just in the gym. It was me, him, our strength and conditioning coach, Brandon McDaniel, and Ethan, one of my coworkers in the office. And Kershaw was just in the gym with us for a half hour, and we were just kind of chopping it up, going back and forth. And he was asking, like, how I got started in baseball. I played in college. And it was kind of one of those first times where it's, okay, you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and you're giving me the time of day. And, like, it was, you get to see the person behind the uniform, and kind of see what a great person he is. And that was a really cool moment.
Awesome to hear, especially it's go sort of hear when you hear that, like, oh, they're a great baseball player, but they're also a great human being on the other side of it. That's a really cool thing to hear, especially with a first ballot Hall of Famer like Kershaw. The third question we have for you, and sort of as a nice thank you for coming onto the podcast and appreciation for you giving us time, as we let our guests determine the future of the podcast and the direction that we go in the future. And it's a little bit putting you on the spot, but it's also putting someone else on the spot, and that you get to nominate sort of either someone with the Dodgers, Team USA, someone that you know that you say, I think that would be a good person to have on the podcast next. And maybe it's someone that you could potentially connect us with, but it's sort of you get to say, I nominate X to be your next guest on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll nominate Sam Elias. He's a coworker with the Dodgers. We actually lived together in 2021. And he actually just started a pretty cool new role with the Dodgers, where he was in the office, and now he's kind of helping transition a lot of our big league office stuff, for lack of a better term, to our minor league affiliates. So he's kind of helping out on the player development side. And yeah, I'm willing to connect you guys.
Love it. Harry, we have to get on that. Sounds great. Well, Pat, thank you so much for hopping on with us today. Really appreciate all the time, all the insight, all the stories. Hopefully a Dodgers World Series championship at the end of this season, and really excited to have you on with us today.
Yeah, of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks so much. So for Dylan, Harry, and Pat, until the next time, the side is retired.